Master prepared unto all good works. Radio friends, I welcome you back in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today I want to speak on this topic: don't let your circumstance define and confine you. Don't let your circumstance define and confine you. And we're going to take our text from Genesis 30:1-3, 35:16-20, and 1 Chronicles 4:9-10. Don't worry about these, because as we arrive at those points, I would read them. Shall we pray? Father, we want to thank you for another occasion, another time we can come to you to listen to your word. We're praying, dear Lord, that your word will find place in our hearts today, and that your word will bring healing to as many as will hear. Healing from circumstances that have gone against us by the power of your word. Heal, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. In life, there is what we call cause and effect. And this cause and effect is both a spiritual as well as a natural law. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, we read, Galatians 6, 7, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." Cause and effect. Newton's third law states, "For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction." To state it differently, actions and reactions are equal and opposite. Every effect in life has an immediate cause that produced it. And behind that cause is another cause, and so on, until you arrive at the primary cause, and that we call the uncaused cause. And this uncaused cause is God Himself. He's the one that causes without being caused by any. He is the creator without being created Himself. What do we do when cause and effect produce an outcome that is not favorable to us? There are two possible responses open to us. We can either shrug our shoulders and say, "Que sera, sera, what will be," and allow the circumstance to define and confine us. Or we will insist that our circumstance or circumstances must not define and confine us. Either of those two responses, and we find them in our discussion today. Two differing responses to circumstances. The texts we have selected address these different responses to circumstances. Two people we're going to meet in our discussion today. One, a woman, Rachel, and the other one, a man, Jabez. These two experienced similar circumstances but had dissimilar responses. Their circumstances were similar in that they both experienced pain, but their responses were not the same. Rachel allowed her circumstance to define and confine her, while Jabez refused to allow his circumstance to define and confine him. He knew he had no control over the pain caused by his circumstance, but he refused to allow suffering to accompany his pain. There is a difference between pain and suffering. Never mind that lawyers lump them together when they seek compensation for you for your accident or circumstance that has been adverse to you. Pain, the physical and emotional pain, is a highly unpleasant feeling you have in your body or in your emotion. But suffering is what goes on in your mind as a result of the pain. Let me say that again. Pain, maybe physical or emotional, is a highly unpleasant feeling which you feel in your body, which you experience in your body or your emotion. But suffering is what goes on in your mind as a result of that pain. For example, as a result of pain, you could start thinking of what you would have done differently, how you could have avoided what happened, negative things people may be saying or thinking about you, uncertainty regarding the future as a result of the painful thing that has happened. You are adding suffering to your pain. Job's pain came from the loss of his wealth, the loss of his children, as well as the boils that came all over his body. But his suffering stemmed from his wife and those who were supposed to be his friends. They taunted him. They said unkind things about him. They judged his motives and his character. That was the source of his suffering. Rachel's response to her circumstance we find in Genesis chapter 30, verses 1 to 3. Genesis 31-3. Now when Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said to Jacob, "Give me children or else I die." Verse 2. And Jacob's anger was aroused against Rachel, and he said, "Am I in the place of God who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb?" So she said in verse 3, "Here is my maid, Bilhah. Go in to her, and she will bear a child on my knees, that I also may have children by her." Let me comment briefly on that. Rachel had two unfortunate circumstances in her life, one more serious than the other. She had no child for a long time, and when children did come, her second pregnancy had serious complications that ended in her death. We'll come to that in Genesis 35. In Genesis 30, where we just read, Rachel looked up to her husband for a child and was prepared to die if her husband did not grant her impossible request. Secondly, her self-image suffered because of her childlessness. The phrase in verse 3, "that I also may have children by her," literally means that I also may be built up by her. Her self-image had already crashed. When we feel like dying for a temporal need or situation, we have allowed our circumstance to define and confine us. When our self-worth is measured by earthly things, we have allowed our circumstance to define and confine us. Let us not forget that Jesus said that one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. That's Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Matthew Henry, an English Bible commentator, put it this way, and I quote him, "Happiness and comfort do not depend on the wealth of this world." Another servant of God says that what supports life is not the superfluous, that which is excess, but that which is necessary. God has not promised us the excess. He promises and provides what is necessary. So do not allow the possession of material things or the lack of them to define or confine you. Never forget that money is not everything. Someone has observed, and interestingly so, that money can buy you a house but not a home. That money can buy you a bed but not sleep. That money can buy you a clock, but not time. That money can buy you a book, but not knowledge. That money can buy you food, but not an appetite. that money can buy you position, but not respect. I want you to listen carefully to me. Money can buy you position, but not respect. Money can buy you medicine, but not health. Money can buy you insurance, but not safety. You see, money is not everything. So do not allow your circumstance to define or to confine you. We need to proceed to the second experience that Rachel had, but it's very likely, given our time constraint, that we'll pick it up when we return next time, and that will be from Genesis 35, from verse 16 to 20. Remember, never allow your circumstance to define and confine you. Radio friends, I'm going to pray for you now. If you need more prayers, if you need counseling, he'll give you the phone numbers to call. Father, I come again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, lifting my radio friends up to you, as many as have heard me. The voice of a man has ceased, but the voice of the Holy Spirit, may you continue to speak in their hearts, lifting their spirits up, especially those who are down, those who are beaten by circumstance. We pray, dear God, that you will help them not to allow their circumstance to confine or define them, that they will rise above these negative circumstances. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Please feel free to join us for worship every Sunday. Sunday school starts at 8:30 a.m., while service starts at 9:30 a.m.